The man they named that hill after is Steve Salisbury, the man from Sacramento. He joins us here in the studio. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Tone. Happy New Year. Good to see you.
Happy New Year to you, brother. It's been a good little couple of weeks over the Christmas New Year period.
Yes, it has been.
Good.
And I hope
kids
it's
been... Well, do they have a good time?
Oh, kids. I'll tell you, being a kid today...
You've got a choice of a lot of things, haven't
they've
you?
Got too many choices, yeah. Don't they? I think they've got... I think all kids, and mine in particular, are just spoiled. I mean, they're not spoiled... In the sense that I think we're raising them the right way, but I do think that kids today, the options, you know, I mean, the number of times where, you know, my kids who are very athletic, they love to play sport. Let's go. What are we going to do today? And I go, I don't know. I'm bored. Let's go. I go, how about we go to an art gallery? That's boring. I'm like, when was the last time I took you to? Never. Well, then how do you know it's boring? Well, I just don't think looking at pictures would be fun. And we go and they go, wow, that was great, Dad. Thanks. So it's just like I don't know. They had a good Christmas and, interestingly, you know, I like, I'm a big Christmas person. Like, I got online and started talking about the fact that as I was driving through Q one night where I live, that there were hardly any houses.
Near Q or the other one?
What's that?
Near Q?
This Q right here.
I don't know. It's just here. That's one.
Which one? Yeah, I don't know.
Not the one too far away.
No, this one right here. Yeah, the one very close. But I didn't see a lot of people... I didn't see a lot of homes with Christmas lights, and so I opined that people don't really care about Christmas, and then few people came back to me and said, no, we do, it's just different, daylight savings plays into it. Kevin Hillier said daylight savings plays into it, which I hadn't considered. You know, I mean, it doesn't get dark till 10,
yeah,
till 9 o'clock, so, and then, you know, a lot of people aren't in town. I mean, there's no traffic on the roads right now.
How good is it?
It is good. I don't mind bumping around this part at this time of year. It's really great. I don't mind driving across town.
No, it's easy.
Yeah,
very easy.
It's the way it should be.
You talk about choices for our kids at the moment. I was talking about this with George Anikin and Troy Zantuck yesterday, and the amount of choices now that we have in regards to sport on television. 20, 30 years ago when we were kids, you were in America, you probably didn't know, but over here in Australia, we didn't have that choice. It was either watching football or cricket, and you didn't have anything really coming in live from overseas. But now, all of a sudden, we've got live NBA every game. We've got live baseball every day.
That's
true.
We've got
every NFL match. You can know, you know, three or four NFL matches a weekend. There it is. It's
EPL.
EPL, everyone coming through.
Yeah.
It's just so much choice in regards to sport.
As consumers of sport, we certainly do. I remember when I moved, well, the first time I didn't move here, but before I moved here, I came down here in 96 for a wedding and with my girlfriend. And we went to this wedding, and I was really bummed because I was missing it was about this time of year, and I was missing the playoffs.
Yep.
And I thought, how the hell am I going to go to? I thought, can I go to the casino? There's got to be a way that I can watch the playoffs. In the end, there was no option. So I ended up missing the game. I had my stepdad fax me the score every quarter. but then I turned on the TV this one night, and I'm looking at a replay of the 49er Packer game, and it was Don Lane's show. And I remember thinking, now that is an idea. And I said, we move down here, I want to explore doing things like that. But it's funny because a lot of people would say to me, they've said to me for the 15 years or 16 years, whatever, that I've been here, like, why don't American people care about AFL? Or why don't American people know about cricket? Or why don't they know this? Or why don't they know that? I've always said that my personal opinion is that over there, 365 days a year, you have two and sometimes three sports that you can choose from, and they're on TV. Whereas here, we got footy, and regardless of which football code you watch, it basically runs in the late summer into, through late summer, autumn, into winter, and then into spring. So you've got really from October, November, December, January, February, and before footy kicks in again in March, where there's not a lot to watch locally. I mean, yes, there's some cricket on now, obviously. And
bit of A-League.
Yeah, there's some A-League and stuff like that. So you guys have had, but the A-League hasn't been here forever. So you guys have had to look elsewhere. So that's why I think there's more of a global sporting knowledge here in Australia.
And what we were talking about also was the fact that in the 80s, I think the 80s was probably the best decade ever. I'll explain all that to you in the break. Don't worry. I think the 80s was the best decade ever in regards to
sport.
Oh,
I like the 80s.
We had so many heroes and we had so many great players in pick a sport, and you can pick at least a half a dozen recognizable household names.
Globally?
Pick any sport in the 80s.
In this country?
Oh, in any country. Doesn't matter.
All right, I'll give you, baseball in the 1980s.
I'm not a massive.
I was going to say, if you were going to throw that at me, if you could give me some names from the 1980s in baseball, Mike Schmidt, George Brett, guys like that, then I would go, wow. You know, Daryl Strawberry.
Barry Bonds came
up in the 80s.
George Brett, Kansas City Royals, Hall of Famer.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, he spent some time
down here.
He was here
only a few weeks ago.
That's what I was just going to say, because you know this. Because
Jackson Brett works at the Aces.
That's right.
Speaking of the Aces, I've got two family passes to give away for tonight.
Who are we playing tonight?
We're playing the Brisbane Bandits.
The Brisbane who?
Bandits.
The Brisbane Bandits.
Yeah.
What time's that game?
That starts at 7 o'clock tonight. If you'd like to go to the baseball with your family, we've got two family passes to give away. Give us a call, 9429-1116. We'll grab your name. We'll leave that on the ticket box at the ballpark in Laverton. But if you'd like to go to the baseball tonight, a family pass, 9429-1116. I've got two of those to give away to the baseball tonight.
And you've got major leaguers playing now too, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. What's his name? Who's the guy that's starting pitching on Saturday? Pitched in a Super Bowl. Pitched in a World Series only a few years ago.
Who would have pitched in a World Series a few years ago?
I can't remember his name now.
Ball four?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game seven. He's a starting pitcher on Saturday night.
He was pitching with the Rays. Four was, really. Yeah. Peter Moylan is pitching? Or no, he's coaching, isn't he, Pete? He plays in a major league.
Yeah, but he's not. Is he coaching down here?
Yeah, I thought he was.
Okay.
Someone told me he was going to.
Not the head coach.
No, he's just going to be a pitcher.
John Deeble.
Deeble.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, get into that. But you're right.
Actually, before we do, Dan from Torquay wants to bring up some great baseball players of the 80s. G'day, Dan.
G'day, Shebex. G'day, Steve. How are you?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, I'd just like to, when you mentioned about the 80s baseball players, immediately what comes to mind is the Simpsons softball match. And
explain that to us.
Well, that's just about every popular 80s baseball player, early 90s, that played the game.
On The Simpsons?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ah. You know what? Now, I'm one of the few people that did not, has not, and probably will not watch The Simpsons. I don't have anything against The Simpsons.
Too close to home?
No, it's not. But it's just a case of, so many people have brought up Simpson references. When I moved here, people go, do you watch The Simpsons? I go, no, I really don't. And it's just that I don't have a lot of time for TV.
Dan, can you get to the baseball tonight down at Laverton? It's only a 45-minute drive from Torquay.
I'll give it a shot.
Good on you, mate. Hang on to the line, mate. We'll grab your details.
Hello, Dan.
Your name will be on the ticket box at the ballpark tonight, and come and see what hopes to be a great series for the Aces, who are leading the way at the moment in the ABL.
By the way, I now figured out what you meant by the near cue as opposed to the far cue.
So I don't... Yeah.
Thank you.
You didn't have to say that last one.
Well, no, but people have clued me. And I have heard that one before. I get that a lot. People say, hey, steak. And they tell me, far. It's my suburbs. So anyway, that's fine. That's fine. It's fine. So, listen, it's NFL right now. And
it is NFL. And we've got wild card games this weekend, haven't we?
Yeah, and it's going to be a good weekend. I'll tell you what. So, Sunday our time, we have Oakland at Houston. And I want to apologize to everybody. I love the Raiders, right? I do. I love the Raiders. And I think that their quarterback, Derek Carr, is the league MVP. I think he's the most valuable player in the league, Tone, in 2016. However, he got hurt a couple weeks ago, broke his lower leg, upper ankle.
Ouch.
Fibula, maybe?
Yeah, fibula, tibula.
Tibia.
Tibia, that's
right. Or is it fibula and tibula?
No, it's
your
the other way around.
Tibia and your fibula. Yeah. He busted up he broke his leg. And they came out.
It's not humorous.
No, there was no humorous involved at all. There was nothing humorous about that at all. Anyway, he then, this past weekend, the Raiders had to go to Denver. Denver's had a rough year. And Denver put the wood to the Raiders. The Raiders scored 6 points. They scored one touchdown. And they were going in with a guy named Matt McGloin, who's about in his fourth year as quarterback. And it just highlighted the importance of that position and what a tremendous player Derek Carr has been all season long. Really, he's one of those guys that he's one of those guys who is going to be special. So anyway, you've got Oakland going in to play Houston. Houston is terrible, but they do have a good defense. But Brock Osweiler, their quarterback, terrible. Houston has, they've got the home field advantage. They probably should win that game, but I like the Raiders in that game. And then the second game that day, Detroit travels to Seattle. Now, Seattle's
been, so these are both the AFC games.
Well, no, no. What they do is they have one of each on each weekend,
okay,
or each day. So the other game on Saturday or Sunday here, Detroit, the sixth seed, travels to Seattle. Now, Seattle has been bad the last few weeks. They had to fight and scratch and claw and do everything they could to get a win over the feeble 49ers on the weekend. They've been smoked a couple of times down the stretch. They've been inconsistent. They have not looked good. But I just don't see that the Lions are going to be able to go into Seattle and beat that battle-tested Seattle Seahawks team. So I got Seattle winning that game. And then the next day, you got Miami going to Pittsburgh. If there were a mortal lock, like a guaranteed win, I would almost bet my life that Pittsburgh will beat Miami. Pittsburgh's a good team. Well, they're flawed. Well, Miami has no business being in this game. Pittsburgh is a very good team, and they've got one of the best quarterbacks going in Ben Roethlisberger.
Explain that, because they're there. So what do you mean they have no business being in this game?
Well, their quarterback is injured.
So they've fallen into the wild card spot, is it?
Well, no. They earned it. They earned it. They went 10-6. They had some wins during the season. They didn't beat any really impressive teams, but they're there. It's a credit to their new coach. They got a young coach named Adam Gase who's done a really good job. It's his first year there. The team had not made the playoffs since, I think, about 2007 or 8. I'm sure someone could text in and tell us. But it had been several years since the Dolphins made the playoffs. He's gone in. They started slowly, and he's kind of turned that team around down the stretch. And they're a playoff team, so they've got the right man in place, it seems, as far as a coach goes. But Pittsburgh has got, they're a very solid outfit. Mm. Offensively, they are, Ben Roethlisberger, he's not Tom Brady, but he is just so good, and he's so clutch, and he just finds a way to win. He's just one of those guys, if you were to see him on the street, you wouldn't think he's a quarterback. He's big, he's probably a little bit overweight, but he's just a
little bit like myself.
He's just a star. You'd be a star out there as well. But and then I'll tell you what, the game of the weekend is the Giants are going into Green Bay. Green Bay is the hottest team in football right now, having won, I want to say, they've won at least 6 straight. I think they're 4-6. They finished out the season 10-6. Their offense has been clicking. They've been running on all cylinders, Tone.
I saw them on the weekend. Just
against Detroit?
Yeah, that was a good effort by them.
Yeah, it was. I think the Giants are going in there. I think the winner of this game right here is going to the Super Bowl. So the winner between the Giants and Green Bay, I think, goes to the Super Bowl. And what I will say is that I think the Giants are going to win this game. I think the Giants are going to go into Lambeau Field and beat the Packers. I think they're going to do it for two reasons. One, their defense is playing as well as anybody. Their secondary is just on fire. They've been holding really good offenses in check. There's just something about that team. They won the title. They won the Super Bowl in 7 and in 11. So they won the two Super Bowls. Four years apart, they won them. And when they came down, they went in as a wild card. People really weren't looking at them, but they had some things that were working in their favor. Their defense just came together at the right time, and this is what's happening. And then Eli Manning, he's won 2 Super Bowls, so he's not going to be overwhelmed by the situation. Neither would Aaron Rodgers. But I do believe that the winner of this game goes on and wins.
So who's the winner of this? Who's the winner of this game play?
I got the New York Giants. Okay. I got the Giants winning. And then the following weekend, the Giants would go to Dallas. Pittsburgh would go to Kansas City, Seattle would go to Atlanta, and Oakland would go to New England. I would have New England beating the Raiders. I'd have Atlanta beating Seattle. I would have the
Giants beating Dallas.
I'd have the Giants beating Dallas for the third time. Yeah, wow. I do. I'd have that. And then Pittsburgh, Kansas City. Man, Kansas City is like the most complete team in football. And they're playing at home where they're next to unbeatable. I mean, Tampa Bay went in there this year and beat them. I think someone else may have done the same thing. But I would have Pittsburgh winning that game, and I'd have Pittsburgh playing New England for the AFC, and I'd have New York and Atlanta in the NFC, and I would go with the Giants and the Patriots to go back to the Super Bowl. This year it's in Phoenix. Sorry, no. This year it's in Houston, Super Bowl LI 51, and I have New England winning that.
Oh, so we've got no X's or anything left now. That sort of dropped off.
Well, no, we will have X. I think we'll have X again.
Another 9 years' time. Yeah.
We'll have LIX for Super Bowl 59, I think. Or is it? Is
oh
it,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Would that be right? LIX.
Yeah.
Super Bowl licks. So anyway, that's this weekend. I think the Houston, the Oakland Houston game is not going to be entertaining at all. Detroit Seattle could be. It probably will be. Giants Green Bay will be a barnstormer. It'll be a really good game to watch. And Miami Pittsburgh probably won't be. It'll probably be over by halftime. But yeah, I've got this weekend. I've got Oakland, Seattle, the Giants, and Pittsburgh moving on. Tom.
Barks in Ballarat wants to know, can he open his eyes now, Steve? Is the 49ers season really over yet?
Barks. Let me tell you what. It is. Yeah, it's over. It's over. They finished at 2-14. They fired their coach. The problem, again, and I've said this 1,000 times, so Barks, if you haven't heard it, I'll say it again. The problem with that team is management. And a lot of people who don't follow the game that closely might say, well, what the hell does management have to do with anything?
Big thing.
Well, that's exactly right. If you don't have, I mean, imagine if you work for a complete a-hole who micromanages you, who if you screw up, I mean, hires you and goes, no, we're behind you, we're going to do this, you're going to be fine, and then starts undermining your efforts halfway through your tenure at a place. I mean, that's what it's like working there, man. It's if you work for Jed York, who's 36, Jed York was handed the San Francisco 49ers at age 27. Now, who in their right mind gives their 27-year-old kid? I mean, I'm a billionaire, right? And I've got... I'm not. But if
you
I am...
You said
you were. Well, no, I'm just hypothetically speaking, okay. Tony. If I were a billionaire, I would... If I was a self-made man, that would be very respectable. If I were born into it like he was, odds are I probably wouldn't have the hunger that a lot of people who are self-made do. And I would, at 27, how the hell am I going to have the business acumen to run a billion-dollar organization? I'm probably not only special people. I mean, how many in the world could do that, right?
You got special teams on the field and off the field.
Well, anyway, the problem with the Niners is that the guy that's running the show is a moron. I mean, frankly, he is. He's just an idiot. He's got an adversarial relationship with the press.
Have you spoken to him about this?
I tried. Well, no, I didn't try, but I was in Seattle. I was following the 49ers when I first moved back to the States in late 9, and I was up in Seattle. I was staying at the Hyatt where the team was.
Sleepless?
No, I slept fine. Yeah. but in all seriousness, I'm sitting in the Hyatt, downtown Seattle Hyatt bar, and I look over, and there's a lot of players and stuff in there, and in walks Jed York. And I couldn't stand him then, and I hated his old man because I thought he ruined my team. And I thought, here he is. He's 10 feet from me. I could walk over and just
whack him.
Well, not really. Verbally, perhaps. And I sat and I thought about it. I go, you know what?
You could in Texas.
I thought about it. I'm like, you know, I'm a 40-year-old man. I realized at that point I'd grown up. I'm like, I can't do it. What am I going to do?
You could have in Texas.
What could I have done in Texas?
Whacked him in Texas. Sort of self-defense. Would have been fine.
Well, I mean, he's certainly... not very popular, but it was, you know, I mean, he's not, it's one of those guys who won't listen. You know, it's, what are you going to do? So
we're going to
get a break.
That's what we're going to do.
Season for the Niners is over and there's no real hope moving forward, unfortunately.
That's sad. That is sad. We'll go to a break. Back with more Steve Salisbury in just a Someone would like to discuss the Browns.
Oh, well, that's a tough one.
Appropriate color for them.
Yeah, it is. Poo Brown. Yeah. I think that if you are a Browns fan, I'm hoping you're also a Cavaliers fan. Because really, what you have to feel bad about is, like, my team is horrible. But I do have the San Francisco Giants who are in it every year. So that's, you know, it's nice. My basketball team, the Kings, they stink. My hockey team, the Sharks, they're decent. So if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, I'm going to hope that you're also an Indians fan. They were just in the World Series. And I'm hoping you're a Cavs fan. They're the champions.
So that hasn't been too bad for you, has it?
Well, not the last couple seasons, but the people of Cleveland endured it had been 1964 since any Cleveland team had won a championship. So the problem with the Browns are that they do not have a good front office. They don't. And they haven't, and they make dumb moves. And the dumb moves I'm talking about are things like drafting Johnny Manziel. Now, they drafted Johnny Manziel 2 or 3 years ago, whatever it was. And it was obvious to me, and I'm not, I watch the game, so I think that I know a fair bit about it. But I'm not in a, I don't know, I'm not a scout, right? I obviously don't know as much as a scout knows, but anybody who is paying attention could see that with Johnny Manziel, he wasn't big enough to play there. He had made a lot of stupid decisions as a college kid. Mm-hmm. So much of that position is what's between the ears, and so you want somebody who is an intelligent person, who's a mature person. He didn't have either of those things going for him. And just size-wise, he wasn't big enough, and his arm strength wasn't great. And if you're playing in that part of the country, it's very windy and cold, November, December, January. So you need to be someone who's big, like a Ben Roethlisberger. You want someone who's big and strong, who's going to be able to throw the ball in inclement weather. So the Browns have repeatedly made bad decisions, and they're just unfortunately suffering the ills of making bad decisions. I mean, that's the whole thing about it. Anybody who's in a bad situation, you look at how you got there. Oftentimes you've made at some point a bad decision. So Browns are in trouble. I do think that I think Hugh Jackson, their coach, is probably the right guy. He's a very enthusiastic person, and he did some good things when he was in Oakland. So hopefully he'll be fine, but it's the Cleveland situation, maybe not as bad as San Francisco, but it's not good.
Well, what about my team, the Colts?
Colts have, I feel, the best talent at quarterback maybe that we've seen in since John Elway and Andrew Luck. And people want to bang on Andrew Luck, but if you take a look at somebody had mentioned statistics. I personally don't really get into statistics that much. I don't put a lot of
weight into the most maligned quarterback in the history of the game.
Well, all people do is complain about him, and it's like he is working with absolutely nothing. I mean, you look at Dak Prescott in Dallas. Dak is a rookie. Dak had a really good season. He's obviously a good player, but he's got good receivers. He's got a great running back. He's got the best offensive line, top two offensive line in all of football in front of him, and he's got a pretty good defense on the other side. So if you have a good defense, offensively, as a quarterback, you can take more risks because you know that a good defense is going to, if you do screw up, and he hasn't, but maybe once or twice this whole season. Andrew Luck is dealing with no offensive line, really, very little running game. Frank Gore is 33 years old now, and I love Frank Gore. He's a legend, but one of the top running backs of all time. But he's at the tail end of his career. The receivers aren't that great. The coaching staff is horrible. I mean, Chuck Pagano should be fired. He won't be, but he should be.
And what about the GM as well?
The GM, Ryan Grigson, he's terrible. He hasn't put any people in place around Andrew Luck. And then he complained, like people were giving him grief about that earlier in the year. And he said, well, look, when you go and you spend all this money on Andrew Luck, we're not going to have the money for other players. That's not how it works. When you sit down... Andrew Luck's the type of guy where you could sit down and go, okay, Andrew, we've got $100 million. We can give you $100 million and have very little for anyone else, or we can give you 75 and then we're going to go out. And I promise you, Andrew Luck's the type of guy who said, you know what, just compensate me commensurate with what I'm doing, and I don't need to be the highest player. And he goes, you can get the right pieces around me. See, he gets it. He's a big picture guy. That's what Tom Brady does every year. Tom Brady's the best quarterback maybe of all time. He's not nearly the highest paid quarterback in the league.
Because, on and off the field.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. So he is
But
not,
he's clever business-wise, that's why.
He's a smart guy. He's 39 years old. Most guys have retired by the time they're 39. He threw 28 touchdowns this year and only two interceptions. That's a 14-to-1 touchdown-to-interception ratio. I don't think anyone's ever done that. Set a record, probably. So, yeah, Andrew Luck is great, but he's got doesn't have the right people in front of him and around him, but despite all the crap that he has to play with, he still is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And if he could ever get an offensive line and some weapons on the side, I promise you he would be the greatest of all time.
Yeah. Mm. Did you know I've done a show from the Colts Bar and Grill, Indianapolis?
Did you really?
Yeah, last
when you
year,
went over to the Indy 500?
Yeah, we did our On the Grid program from the Colts Bar and Grill.
How is Indy as a town? How do you rate Indy as a town?
I loved it.
It's actually come along. Yeah. It's come a long way.
Lucas Oil Stadium, the Luke, is an amazing stadium.
It's a great joint. Did you go through there?
Yeah, we did. And the view that you get, we didn't obviously didn't see any game time.
Not in April,
but the view that But the view that you get from the back of the stadium, they've got this massive glass wall. So during the game, all you can see is the city as the backdrop. It's just really pretty.
They've done a lot of those stadiums now. They incorporate the city. MetLife didn't really, because MetLife's over in New Jersey, yeah, across from Manhattan. The 49ers obviously didn't. That was really stupid. They had the San Francisco skyline, but they went to Santa Clara. And in Santa Clara, there's nothing. I mean, Silicon Valley.
Mm.
So, yeah, a lot of the teams now, they're building their stadiums in the city, incorporating the city views and all that kind of stuff. Those venues, they're saying that, like, people say, well, people mightn't understand why the American teams – hold, it's typically the owners, why the owners hold cities for ransom. They do it because, number one, they can, right? The cities want, there's a lot of gravitas that comes with having an NFL team or an NBA team or even a Major League Baseball team in your town. So they want a new stadium because they want to compete with their competitors, you know, the other teams. It was estimated that the 49ers make $100 million annually off that stupid stadium, off Levi's Stadium. They make $100 million
for the naming rights.
Well, no, not just for
oh, yeah, okay,
just for everything.
Yeah.
So, just imagine that you want to. People go, well, why do they need a new stadium? What's wrong with where they're playing? Well, look, I get that, but unfortunately, a lot of this is about, and it shouldn't be, but a lot of it's about money. That stadium alone, with that crappy product on the field, they make $100 million a year. And then the other thing about it is people go, well, why don't they sell? You know, with respect to the 49ers or any coach or any team that's not going well, they go, well, why doesn't the owner sell? I mean, they had that with Donald Sterling, the guy who the NBA made sell the team because he had those racist remarks. People go, why don't you sell? Well, you know what? If you are an NFL owner, 2 years ago, I don't know what the numbers were last year and this year, but 2 years ago in 2014, before the 2014 season began, all the teams got a check for $224 million, I think it was $224 million bucks. And what that was for is that's the TV rights for that season alone.
Wow.
Then you throw on top of that. Now you got to pay, that's just, you got to pay your $100 million in salaries, yep, and things like that. You got your employees, you got all the other stuff. But then you've got the draw, yep, at the gate. So you got 70,000 exactly people coming in paying an average of $100 a ticket.
So that 224 covers everything before you even start, doesn't it?
It should. And then you think about the stadium itself giving them an extra $100 million a year. So you're talking, well, yeah, plus you're going to sell hot dogs. And I don't think you can get a beer at a stadium for less than $10.
Do they run their own catering?
Oh, they would probably out. They would probably
outsource.
Yeah, they'd probably get, I think that's probably what they would do. I don't know. I don't know specifically. I mean, there's probably different agreements between different teams and then vendors in their areas. But, I mean, this is why they're not going to sell. And this is the thing that if you're a Browns fan, you know, they've sold the team probably twice in the last 15 years. No one seems to know what the hell they're doing. And, you know, the 49ers, I mean, they got a 36-year-old numbnut running the team with no idea what the hell he's doing, doesn't know what he doesn't know, but he's making $300 million a year just by doing nothing.
He ain't no numbnut.
Well, no, he
well, is. He's not. If he's making $300 million a year, he's
no,
not
no, 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 but anybody, his anybody, this is the NFL ownership. It's like a license to print money. If you own a team, because of the TV rights alone, you make $250 million a year. Then you got your stadium. If you got a stadium in place, that's another $100 million. Then you got, oh, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to sell, right? I'm going to sell tickets, right? The Niners had season, like they had people had to buy PSLs, so personal seat license. So to buy a seat, Tony, two seats in my thing, I'm going to charge you $5,000. So, I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of money that these idiots make.
Actually, I'll talk to you about buying seats in a sec because the Milwaukee Bucks have come up with a fantastic concept in regards to their games. But we'll take a break at 18 minutes to 10, back with more. 14 minutes to 11 here on 11:16 SEN. Let's go through a few of these SMSs because they're coming through thick and fast. Thank you to keep sending them in on 0433-98-11-16. From the top, Steve, are you forgetting the last time the Steelers played the Patriots? No Big Ben, no Bell, no Pouncey. Now, no
Gronkowski.
Go Pittsburgh.
No, I'm not forgetting about that. I just think that the Patriots are the best coach team in football. And when you watch them in their games, if there's one person in particular, they will make that person beat you. So they will make that. What they'll do is they'll say they won't allow that person to beat you. So what the Steelers will probably do, or sorry, what the Patriots would probably do should Pittsburgh go to Kansas City, and there's no guarantee they're going to do this, but I think they will. So let's say they do get to the AFC Championship game. What the coaching staff for the Patriots will do is they'll say, are we going to stop Le'Veon Bell? Or are we going to stop Antonio Brown? We're not going to let one guy beat us. So they'll figure out who they think the biggest threat is. Maybe they think it's Ben Roethlisberger. And what they'll do. I'm not discounting the Steelers at all. I just think the Patriots are so well coached. Brady's 39. He's probably the best of all time. And I'm a Montana guy, so for me to say that is high praise. But, yeah, no, look, you bring up a good point. No Gronkowski. How are they going to manage? Well, somehow they always find a way to manage. The way to beat the Patriots is you got to look at what Denver did last year. Denver harassed Tom Brady. So you've got to get somebody in his face the entire time, knocking him around. Because I don't care who you are. Mike Tyson said it. Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. So you may have a great plan if you're...
That is one of the great lines.
Oh, he does. Because people are talking about things. Well, yeah, everybody's got a plan to... I can't do my Tyson. I used to be able to do a Tyson.
Everybody's got a plan.
Until they get punched in the mouth. So anyway, that's... If you want to beat the Patriots, what you have to do is you got to harass Tom Brady.
I want to eat your children. I want to take their hearts.
That's why he was going to eat the children. You know, his defense was impregnable. Mike Tyson was great, but anyway, yeah, I do grant you that it's going to be tight, but I just think that the Patriots with home field advantage, they didn't get it done last year. I just think they're the team. I would love to see someone. I would love to see Kansas City do it. Until they do it, I can't buy into them.
Yeah.
You know, on paper. Oh yeah. Kansas City, most well-rounded team. They've got the biggest playmakers. They got this guy, Tyreek Hill, who's like a human highlight film. They got great guys on defense who make plays for them. They got a good tight end. Alex Smith is solid. They're well coached. I would love to see Kansas City do it. Love to see it happen.
Someone just on the coaching roundabout that you were talking about before also, Buffalo Bills, any ideas who might take the role there?
Well, there has been a lot of speculation about what might happen there. I can tell you that the Bills, okay, here's what the Bills are doing. Former offensive coordinator Anthony Lynn is considered a legitimate candidate for them. They're going to interview offensive coordinator. Let's see, they're interviewing Panthers defensive coordinator Sean McDermott as well. If you take a look at, there's six jobs out there right now. Six open jobs as of today. If Houston loses on the weekend, as I suspect they will, Bill O'Brien could get the ass. But you've got Buffalo, Denver, Jacksonville, L.A., San Diego, and San Francisco.
So the chance he could get sacked.
He could. So, I mean, which is the best job of those? Very clearly, it's Denver. Denver's got a great fan base. They got a good front office. You've got that defense. You know, they potentially have a quarterback in Paxton Lynch that you could work with. So that's the best job. Buffalo, they've got a culture of losing. The front office isn't great. Buffalo, have you ever been to Buffalo in December?
No.
You don't
but damn cold, I'm thinking.
Oh, there's lots of snow. Jacksonville's another one. I mean, same question I asked you is Florida in summer. It's like being in Darwin. No. In February. You wouldn't want to be there.
Extremes.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Buffalo to Jacksonville.
It's disgusting. But they've got an owner who's patient, and they do have some pieces
there.
A
good front office.
Jacksonville's front office, not bad. L.A., that's probably the most intriguing of all because the Rams are back in L.A. now. You're going to be playing in a new stadium.
L.A. would have a very accepting front office, wouldn't they?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to see. They were very loyal. I mean, they kept Jeff Fisher there for 7 years or whatever it was, and he never had a winning record. So they're the anti San Francisco. But it's a real. It would be being a Rams coach would be great. Playing coaching in LA would be great. They're going to have unlimited resources to go out and get the best people. So that'd be a great job. San Diego's another one. San Diego's got a good roster. You just don't know whether you're going to be playing. San Diego's America's finest city. It's self-glossed as America's finest city. The cop cars, Tone, when you're in San Diego, have you been to San Diego?
Is that north of LA, down near Mexico?
No, it's south of LA, down near
south
Mexico.
South of LA, not north. I'm going to go there. We're going there in March.
Okay, when you see the cop cars, it says America's Finest on the cop cars.
Really?
Yeah, it's America's Finest City.
Are they still, they're still just the normal black and white cop cars, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, they might be. No, nothing like that. No, they're. I think they're white. But anyway, it's a great place to live. I lived there for 5 years. It's one of the. It's an incredible place. They got a pretty loyal fan base.
Should I take my kids to Tijuana?
No, we could talk about that in a second. Let me get through this. I will talk to you about Tijuana. Tijuana's bad, and I'll tell you, I've got some Tijuana stories. As being a young man going down there, and you don't want to go there anymore.
Okay.
But San Diego's got a good quarterback. They've got a pretty decent roster. The front office doesn't know what the hell they're doing, but they do. They did give Michael.
Do they not have a receptionist in this front office? That sort of steers the ship a little bit.
Receptionist, no. And then San Francisco, sadly, even though they're historically one of the best teams in football, proud history, 5 Super Bowl championships, great, fantastic fan base, loyal fan base. They've got the most moronic front office going. It's completely dysfunctional. So, and they don't have much talent. So the only real benefit to going to San Francisco right now is that you could probably say to Jed York, I need it in writing that you're not going to talk to me. I need it in writing that you're not going to come near me. I need it in writing that unless I go 0-16, I'm not in fear of getting fired. And you've got a clean slate. So they don't really have any players. You're basically, if you're the general manager, you can come in, hire your own head coach, and you could kind of build a team as you like to build a team. And if you're successful in doing it, you're going to walk on water in that area.
Has the back office ever challenged the front office?
The back office has challenged the front office, Tone, and unfortunately...
Sounds like in most clubs, the back office would win.
No, well, except for the fact that the front office holds all the
checks. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Darren and Dave with a couple of questions to get us up to the news. 3 minutes to news time. Let's get straight into our calls. Darren and David, thank you for calling. Darren, go ahead.
Thanks, Dave, Tony. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, mate.
Darren, how are you?
Good. As a long, as a 70s Dallas fan, I'm pretty excited. Had a good run in the 90s. But, Steve, as a San Francisco fan that you are, is it through the rivalry with Dallas that you don't really rate us for this year?
No, it's not that at all. It's not that I don't rate you. I think that... There's something about the team I'm not buying into. I think probably it's because you got a rookie quarterback, and rookie quarterbacks simply don't get it done. Now, if he gets it done, I'm happy to say I was wrong. He's a lot better than I thought he was going to be. They've got all these different things in place, but I look at the Giants. The Giants, in the two games that they lost this year, I don't put any merit into the Eagles' loss because the Dallas didn't play their best. But in the two games, Dallas took the Dak and the, you know, Dez Bryant and those types of guys out of the game. So their defense, the Giants' defense, is really good. I also look at Green Bay. Green Bay's so hot. It comes down to lack of experience for me. But I'm happy to say I was wrong if I'm wrong. If someone said, gun to your head, do you have Dallas winning a Super Bowl? I don't.
Good on you, Darren. Thank you for calling. And hang on to the line, mate. We've got a $100 voucher from creatorwall.net.au for you. Custom removable wall art, perfect for home, office, and your man cave. creatorwall.net.au, $100 voucher coming your way. Dave from Hillside to wrap us up. G'day, Dave.
G'day, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, David.
Good. Big Tennessee Titans fan.
Oh.
Things are finally looking up.
They are, actually.
Been downhill since the McNair and Eddie George days.
Yes.
Just a question. In lieu of us missing the playoffs by pretty much a game, why is this NFL season, considering so many teams, why is the season so short? Why is it not longer?
You mean why aren't they playing more games?
Yeah, with 16 games, considering how many teams there are, seems a bit light on, doesn't it?
Well, no. The reason they don't is because it's just too physically demanding on those guys. Tennessee had a really good year. I was really impressed. I mean, they were terrible last year. I think they won 3 games. They came back this year, won 9. Marcus Mariota looks like a really good quarterback. That defense is getting better. They got some weapons. The NFL owners wanted for money. They wanted to kick it out to 18 games a year, and the people just said, no, we can't do it. It's too physically demanding. It just takes too much of a toll on the players. And if they were to play a couple more games during the regular season, they'd have nobody standing come playoff time, so they're going to keep it at 16.
Hang on to the line, David. An Elmore Oil Hamper for natural relief for muscular aches and pains. Australian made and with 100% natural active ingredients coming your way. Steve, thank you so much.
Anytime, Tone, anytime.
My life is so much better for having you in the studio for one hour.
You and I for years have had a good time, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Always. We will continue to.
Yes, we will.
We will.